All right, we're joined by the third base coach of the San Francisco Giants. He is the professor, and that is Ron Wotus. Well, how are you today?
I'm doing good, Marty. Just trying to make sure I wear layers after coming out of Arizona for 2 months and up here in Seattle. You know, the weather's been nice, but there still is a chill in the air. But I'm doing great.
Well, I want to touch on River Islands before we get into some of the baseball stuff. And I was thinking about what you said last week, and that is how hot this real estate market is. And, of course, Laurie is in the middle of it. But, boy, the homes still moderately priced at River Islands, and people are looking for homes.
Yeah, that's the key. I mean, you know, price is a big deal. Interest rates are still good. But, you know, with everybody working remotely, too, you know, the fact is that River Islands, you know, isn't that far from the city, and it has so much to do on its own. But you can work remotely if you want from there as well. So there's so many pluses to be out there. And you mentioned the biggest one is affordable housing in the Bay Area.
Boy, it's huge. And we're heading into, you know, summer. We're into spring, and that Islanders field is being used, and you really enjoy that field.
Yeah, well, I'm good friends with Don Johns. They did a great job over there, and you know, they're getting all kinds of events for youth baseball out there, showcases. You know, I mean, some of the best amateur players are showing up for showcases at that field, and it's getting a lot of use, and it's only going to get bigger and better as time goes on, just like the whole community is. So, yeah, it's a nice place to visit if you haven't been out there. And there's no chill in the air over there like there is here in Seattle. So you got to like that, too.
Boy, that's the best. All right, riverislands.com. And the professor and I have both been out there. Well, let's talk about the season. Boy, the first two games, could you have gotten any crazier games in the first two?
Yeah, you know, the first one obviously was a tough pill to swallow. You know, talking to Seager at third base, you know, we pretty much had them down. You know, nothing was going right for Seattle, and we were hitting home runs right and left, and we were in great position. But that's baseball, as you like to say, Marty. You got to play nine innings. You got to get to 27 outs, and you know, if you don't, if someone has a bad performance or you have a weakness on your club, you know, it'll get exploited, especially over 162 games.
Well, the bullpen is one of those things. It's a work in progress, and I kind of joke on the air. I say relievers are relievers for a reason, and that is because they go up and down in their careers. You very rarely see a reliever have 12 great years in a row.
Yeah, no, that's true. And, you know, the other thing about it is I think, you know, every club is not every club. A lot of the clubs are still feeling their way through the roles with the relievers. You know, we don't have any definitely defined roles. I mean, we have guys that we like that are going to pitch in more leverage situations and guys in non-leverage situations. But always at the beginning of the year, there's a little touch and feel going on because the performance dictates, you know, where they're going to pitch. And guys have rough nights or rough outings. You know, they may be used in low leverage. So it's a work in progress for the most part. And it was great to see the guys bounce back yesterday, Rodgers and McKee. And that's, you know, that's the script we want, a good starting pitching and have the relievers come in and shut the door.
Well, a couple of things that got me in that game. Number one is McKee. Well, this guy just brings it, and he throws strikes. He throws eight or nine pitches, and that's the end of the inning. This is something to watch.
Yeah, no, I think you're going to see him, you know, late in the games, definitely. You know, he got the final outs last night, and I expect he'll be there the majority of the time. You know, even when he was with Colorado in L.A., he's got that, you know, that rising fastball, that swing and miss fastball. You know, when we used to face him, it didn't matter if it was a left-handed hitter or a right-handed hitter. You wanted to put up your best fastball hitter because that really is his pitch. And he throws that elevated fastball. It's hard to get on top of it and hit that thing. So he does have that pitch that is the swing and miss pitch, and that's great to have out of the bullpen.
We've seen a lot of challenges the first couple of games on both sides. Well, how are the challenges being worked? Did anything change from last year? Is there a video booth in the ballpark, or is it just still go to New York and whatever happens, happens?
Yeah, as far as I know, it's still going to New York. I'm sure the COVID has affected that. Remember years back, there was talk about putting a site in San Francisco, actually. So they had a West Coast site and a New York site. But everything's going through New York, as far as I know. There's really no real changes to that. You know, you're just limited. Players can't get in there. You can't congregate. They have a guard in there watching to make sure there's no funny business going on with those cameras. So it's the same protocols that we've had in the past in the same system.
All right. Yeah, a lot of replays going on the first couple of games. I wasn't sure if it was different or not. You got to be careful down there as I always say on the air, you said it very well. April and May, you kind of figure out who's who and what you got. Well, Flores almost got you last night. You got to figure out who the pull hitters are and move back a little bit.
Well, you're right, Marty, and I do know who the pull hitters are because I've seen these guys now for a year and a half. And, you know, a few years back, I just had one or two guys I had to worry about. But now you got a guy like the pitcher last night throwing cutters in and slow breaking balls to a righties. I got to watch out for Longoria. I got to watch out for Flores. I got to watch out for Ruff. There's a bunch of them that are going to be shooting at me this year. So I got to stay on my toes and get my rest and be ready to move when I get out there.
Boy, that's for sure. Let's talk to the professor. We'll go to school a little bit here. Brandon Belt on the DP, he said he yanked it. What happened on that one? Because that prolonged that inning and really put Seattle back in the game.
Yeah, it's very, not typical of Brandon. He made the right decision. You know, a lot of people say go home on that ball. But I talked to both him and Craw, and they both agreed that if they execute that play, it's a double play without question. So he made the right decision to go opposed to just going home. That's the safest, easiest play. But we would have had the double play if it wasn't for the errant throw. And, you know, Brandon is a little bit behind on his defense and his play, obviously, because he missed so much time in spring training. And, whether that affected him, that he's just not as sharp and needs more reps, or the matter of fact that he just yanked it. Sometimes you just throw a ball bad. You know, in talking to him, the angle where he was at, he was kind of just a couple steps behind the runner in position on a slow ball to come get the ball and throw home, and in a hard hit ball, go for two. And sometimes that angle is a little bit different because you're not in that position as often. Usually you're way back, or you're up on the grass. And he felt like the angle was a little bit different besides just, yanking the ball. And he came out yesterday and he took the majority of his ground balls in that in-between area and made some throws.
Well, he's a Gold Glover for me. And Seattle did have a Gold Glover. He got it on the first night. And this is Evan White. Is a Gold Glover. But, I've watched him play and he's had a couple of unusual plays. And being the professor, will comment on a couple of them. One is the ground ball to first, and he's going to throw it to the pitcher. And he did it last night with Kikuchi, and he almost killed him. That play has got to be made a certain way. You guys practice it in spring training, and White threw the ball down low. That could not be the way you're supposed to do that.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. I mean, look, guys are going to make bad throws just like Belt did. It happens. Nobody's perfect, and you're not going to be 100 for 100 all the time. But the fact is, when you get a play and you're flipping the ball to the pitcher, if you miss, you want to miss high. You never want to miss throwing the ball to the pitcher, or actually on a double play, throwing the ball to the shortstop, or shortstop throwing the ball to the second baseman. You don't want to handcuff them by their waist. You don't want them have to turn the glove over and catch it underhand because it slows down the double play. But with the pitcher covering and you're running full speed, you want to miss high. Throw it for their chest, and I'd rather have the pitcher reach up above his head to catch a ball in a full sprint than to have to, slow down and try to catch a handcuffed throw. And also, it was a little bit behind him, and that really throws the rhythm off of the pitcher, and the pitcher made a nice play to keep his foot on the bag and record that out.
Yeah, he was smiling afterwards, but boy, that was very dangerous, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, it was.
Kikuchi made a very nice play. Kikuchi was fun to watch. You know, we don't see the big curveball, and he could throw it 95. It looked like he got a little tired at the end, and I was just waiting for him to hang one, and Longoria got the pitch he wanted, and he didn't miss it. But what do you think of Kikuchi last night?
Yeah, no, I agree. You know, better than anticipated. He was throwing 94, 95. He throws a cutter. He's got the straight fastball. You know, he likes to throw balls in on those righties. You know, that's his strength, the ball cutting in. He used a good mix. I was impressed. You know, I don't know what kind of years he's had in the past because, you know, I don't see him very often. But I thought he was outstanding and a good-looking pitcher. I think he should have a pretty good year.
Yep, but it was fun to watch him, especially against Cueto. Well, Cueto is that consummate pro, and you and I have talked about it over the years. This is a guy that every pitch he throws has a purpose, and he pulled it together at the right time in the middle of the game to allow the ball club to get back into it.
Yeah, you know what? You know, Johnny's, you know, kind of a rare breed in the game today. You know, everybody's looking for that high velocity and you know, throwing hard and in great shapes on their breaking balls. And the one thing about Johnny, when we signed him that long-term contract, I remember talking to Bobby Evans, and, you know, a lot of people liked him, obviously, because he's a pitcher. And you see a guy like him, when they lose stuff, and he doesn't have the same stuff he had when he debuted years and years ago, but he pitches. He knows how to change speeds. He keeps the ball out of the middle of the plate for the most part. He can read a hitter's swing. And he was very effective last night doing his thing, and it was great to see.
No, it was great, 105 pitches. You know, whoa, you touched on something very important. Today is the anniversary of his first game in the big leagues. It's for Cincinnati. It's in Cincinnati. They're playing Arizona. Now, here's 22-year-old Johnny Cueto. He's never been in the big leagues before, and he comes out and starts, obviously, one of the first or second, third games of the year. He goes six perfect innings, and in the seventh inning, wow, Justin Upton leads off with a home run. They take Johnny out. He's gone seven innings, one hit, one run, no walks, 10 strikeouts, and he ends up winning the game over the Diamondbacks 3-2, and he strikes out eight of the first 13 Arizona batters he faces, 22 years old. Can you imagine with this? Well, you saw him. Can you imagine facing this guy the first time as a young man, knowing what he does now?
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. He's a heck of a pitcher, and that's why he got the contract that he did, and he pitched in a lot of big moments in his career. You know, you look at his stuff now, it's not the same, but you add 5-6 mile an hour to that fastball, and one of his best pitches is that changeup. And now when you got, you know, the fastball at 95, instead of 91, now you add that great changeup, it's a lot more difficult to hit. So doesn't surprise me that, you know, he did that in his debut. As you go along, like I said, he's got feel, he's got command. He's a pitcher, and, you know, we're very lucky to have him, and I hope that he can have a good, stay healthy and have a good year because he's got the savvy and the experience to be able to do it.
Well, interesting. We'll be back with the third base coach of the San Francisco Giants, the Professor Ron Wotus, right after this. Back here with the Professor Ron Wotus, of course, as we talk some ball before the Giants and Mariners wrap up this three-game series. Whoa, Donovan Solano. I must tell you, he just amazes me every night. Donnie Barrels, whatever you want to call him. A huge, huge hit last night. But the play he made in the field behind Rodgers, really, I thought, just save the game, or else Rodgers would have been in trouble. Solano gets the hit to win the game, and then he makes a play in the field to save the game. How about that?
Yeah, we were all excited to see that play. Nick Ortiz was standing next to me, and I know Kai was excited. You know, he ranged up the middle. That's the toughest play for a second baseman to have to throw back across your body, and he made a great play in a big moment. And it was great to see. You know, we know what he does at the plate. But he's always been a reliable defender. I mean, he's a little older now, you know, mid-30s, right? 33 years old. The legs aren't as quite as spry as they used to be. But that was a play that I seen him make before years ago when he was with the Marlins. And Maybe he was a little excited because you had Perry Hill, the first base coach with Seattle. We all hear so much about him and how good of an infield coach he is. And he had Donovan Solano in Miami when he's there. So it was nice to see in that moment him make the play. And I'm sure Perry Hill was smiling as well, watching one of his ex-infielders.
Well, then he scored. And, you know, he's not the fastest guy in the world, but you had him running, and he scored a big run.
Yeah, he did. Well, he got the big hit, and he was running hard. You know, he came in the third like he was wanting to score. And that's the key. You know, a lot of times guys run the bases, they start off a little bit slower until they realize they have a chance to score or do something. Then they pick it up. But he was giving everything he has from the moment he took off. And that's what I love about him. You know, this guy's always been able to hit. He's getting the chance to play every day, which he never got that chance in the past. He did it last year, Silver Slugger. And he's not resting on his laurels. He's continuing to do what he does because that's the type of professional he is, giving you everything he has every day.
Well, I'll tell you something. Las Vegas puts out odds on winning the batting title in the National League. And he's not even listed with the first six or seven guys. He's in the field. So if you put up $100, you can win $650. I'm telling you, this guy may hit 320, 330.
You know, that may be the best tip I've gotten all day or will get all day, Marty. I kind of like that. Thanks for bringing that to my attention.
Yeah, really. I love it. Hey, Yastrzemski. You talk about huge games, and I realize he's struggling right now at the bat, but, well, he got a walk, which prolonged that inning and got Solano and Longoria up there, and that was the winning combination. And then he scored a big run, and he was flying. There was no stopping him.
Yeah, no, you're right. And, you know, he's another guy. We got a team full of grinders now. These guys get the most out of their physical ability. Yaz, what he's done since he's come onto the scene. And as you said, he's not off to the start that he wants to have. But you know he's going to be there at the end of the day. But it doesn't affect the rest of his game, playing a good right field. And he made the play. Because if there was a different runner on that ball that caromed in left field, I wouldn't have sent him. And, you know, Yaz, once he gets moving, I mean, he's not blazing fast, but he was running hard. He cuts the corners well, and I knew he had a shot to score. And he was coming around third really good. So that was a big run at the time, you know, and it turned out to be obviously an insurance run that we needed.
Well, we'll wrap it up, talk about a couple of guys. They're the veterans, and let's hope they stay healthy. Longoria, a couple of home runs already. Posey, a couple of home runs already. And I'll tell you, just watching the game on TV and seeing Posey behind the dish makes me feel better.
No, there's no question. Look, he brings calm to this young pitching staff. And I think the first night, you know, and taking a deeper dive into, you know, why our command was so far off, I think some guys were a little nervous, you know. I mean, it is opening day. Some of these guys, you know, haven't had long careers yet. Opening day, little jitters, first game. But when you got a guy like Posey behind the plate, he brings calm to everybody. And he's going to pay his dividends regardless of what he gives it at the plate, which is very encouraging. Two home runs, right? And the hip, he feels better. He feels better hitting through the ball. So a big plus for us, not just offensively, but to handle the pitching staff. And you mentioned Longo. You know, Longo's been on fire from day one in spring training.
Yes.
It feels like he has 30 home runs already in spring training. And, you know, every time he goes up there, and he's not swinging and missing. He's not chasing. And that's the key to being a good hitter. So let's hope they stay locked in and continue to do what they're doing. If they do, we're going to be okay.
Yeah, it's been good. Even though the first game was crazy, it's the team is showing it can hit. And you got a lot of different pitchers. And you're right, April and May, you try to figure out who can do what. So I think it's off to a good start. Well, we're not going to talk before the home opener next Friday. I'm sure you're looking forward to coming home and being at the ballpark. And at least hopefully around 8,400 fans will be out there.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. You know, it's been so long, you know, since we've had our crowd. It feels like forever since we've had our crowd behind us at the ballpark. And you know, it was encouraging here in Seattle, the amount of people they had here. And I guess it'll be the same at our park. it felt like we had fans in the stands. You know, in spring training, we were so limited, it was kind of quiet, but it's bringing the atmosphere back, and I'm really excited to see the people in the stands and for our team to feel the energy the fans do bring at our ballpark and the support they give us. We missed it, and we're really looking forward to it.
Yeah, and I think, I could be wrong, but I think Cueto opens up for you guys at home, I think. So that'll be fun against Colorado, too. Well, take care of yourself. You're fully vaccinated now, right?
Yeah, I got my second shot, the Moderna shot, on March 2nd. So I have about 10 more days here, and I will be out of the woods. And I'm not sure if you're aware, but there'll be different protocols for us fully vaccinated coaches and players at the ballpark. And of course, if we get the club to 85% of the people vaccinated, there'll be even looser restrictions for the whole team, group thing. So we're getting back to normalcy, and hopefully, you know, we can do the right thing until that happens and keep everybody safe and not have any outbreaks. So yeah, things are moving along, and I'm looking forward to getting back to some normalcy.
All right, great to talk to you. Be careful. Move back about 10 feet, though, when these righties are up there. I'll tell
you. I will. Thanks for the tip, Marty. I'm getting all kinds of tips today. I appreciate it.
All right. Take care, Will. Take care. All right.
You too.
All right. That is the third base coach of the San Francisco Giants, Ron Wotus. More coming up. You're listening to KNBR 104.5 and 680, the sports leader.